fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
All right, one more game, and we are finishing up week 7 in the NFL as the Texans and the Broncos meet tonight. I got a lot at stake in fantasy tonight. And you know what, Keith and Chris? What a time to be a sports fan. World Series, NFL, college football, basketball starting tomorrow. I'm feeling it right now. I love sports right now.
Yeah, we're only like a week away from Josh Jackson becoming Chris Towers' favorite basketball player in America.
Wow. I guess you have to listen to the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast to know who that is.
No, we wouldn't talk about him on that.
He's a college basketball player.
We're about 7 months from me even watching Josh Jackson.
No, you're going to see him. You're not going to be able to avoid it.
No.
He'll be all over Twitter.
Dude, he scored the game-winning goal against the Hawks, right? In Mighty Ducks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, he was the captain.
Yeah, and he's Paisley. Well, welcome to the show. This is Fantasy Football Today. Send us your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Recapping everything we saw on Sunday. Jay Ajayi being awesome. The Sunday night game, 12 points in a 6-6 tie. Heath, what was the stat you, or Chris, rather, what was the stat you just gave before we started the show?
I believe that was the third game in the NFL history that has ended in a 6-6 tie.
Uh-huh.
The Cardinals have played in all three of them.
That's pretty amazing. And a lot more. You know, we'll talk about Todd Gurley. We'll talk about Allen Robinson. He's having some drops issues. There was an interesting article in the, on Jacksonville.com, the Florida Times Union today. So, we'll get to it. But I've got a few lessons that were learned in week 7. Would you like to hear the lessons that were learned?
You know, I'm in such a good mood. I will listen to anything you have to
say. Oh, really? Why, Heath?
I had a great, great, great fantasy week. My best week of the season.
Good, good.
Had my best fantasy win ever last night.
Oh, yeah? How so?
I was playing Nick Costos, our good friend Nick Costos. He had Chandler Catanzaro. I had Larry Fitzgerald. And the last pass they threw to Fitzgerald, after the two missed field goals in overtime, where Fitzgerald caught that pass and ran out of bounds to get the
one shot. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's what gave me the win.
Oh, that's a crushing loss for Nick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Crushing. It was my 0-16 that I thought would never, ever win won this week. So it's all great. It's all gravy from here.
But the Rejects League team lost again. So lessons learned. Be careful with injured players. LeSean McCoy. I mean, this was such an obvious stay away for me. And I hate these situations. You never know with snap counts. Like, Kelvin Benjamin was supposed to be on a snap count in week one. And he clearly wasn't. But, I hope only 40% of our owners started LeSean McCoy. So I hope you guys did not have to start him. But
the most annoying thing was that I spent the entire pregame in the live blog telling people, hey, maybe you should start Mike Gillisley. He's going to get some work. Not so much.
When you knew that McCoy was active?
Well, I figured Mike Gillisley was going to get more work than LeSean McCoy. Based on the pregame reports, LeSean McCoy was supposed to be on a snap count.
Right, but they were saying 25 to 35 snaps.
He ended up being on a snap count.
Right.
Inadvertently.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Gillisley was started in 50% of leagues. McCoy in 40% of leagues.
Yeah. Good job, Chris. That's all me. Every single one of those leagues. No, I was saying, if you can, bench both of them.
Okay. Lesson number two learned. Good defense does not mean bad game. I did a Twitter poll yesterday. Most of the people who responded thought that last night's game was a bad game. Over 50% of over 1,000 votes. I wrote good, bad, or somewhere in between, and bad was the winner. And I loved last night's game. I thought it was a great game.
Yeah, I fell asleep at halftime.
Well, you're sick, Chris, so you have an excuse.
You're sick.
No, I agree with you.
I'll fight you.
The fact that the game ended in a 6-6 tie only made it better.
I mean, overtime was a little ridiculous.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. I put that poll up in the fourth quarter, but I mean, overtime, I was like stunned. It was so fun. But the chess match was great. I just thought it was a great game. I loved it.
There is a big difference between a 6-6 game between incompetent offenses and a 6-6 game with incredible defenses.
Yep, right.
There's a difference. We're going to see the difference on Thursday night when Jacksonville plays the Titans.
Well, I think most people would say the Rams-Giants game, which was, you know, 10-10 for a while.
That was an awful game.
I thought it was good defense for the most part, but then Keenum just got all Keenum on us. And then, lesson number three, it is official. I am a sorcerer. There is just no doubt about it. Washington, Detroit, I bonanzaed the hell out of that one, although the last 2 minutes kind of saved my bacon a little bit. I pronounced myself to be a Vikings fan, and skull, they lose. I sent a nice tweet out about how even Richard Sherman can't cover Michael Floyd, and then he has a horrible drop later in the game. And then earlier in the day, I sent a tweet out about how great Tevin Coleman looked. I thought Tevin Coleman looked awesome yesterday. I was watching a lot of that game. He was shot out of a cannon every time he touched the ball. And then, of course, he injured his hamstring and did not return. So I apologize, guys. I don't know what to do anymore, but I thought I wasn't a sorcerer. I clearly am.
Maybe just stop tweeting.
I had a great time on Twitter yesterday. It was a great day. So let's get into it here.
I mean, this week, Keith, or last week where you talked about how excited you were to play Tyler Lockett and John Brown?
That was 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Yes. Because that was a good one.
This is such a random shots from Chris. That's all we're going to get out of him today.
Yeah, under the weather.
I'm just delirious.
I'm putting air quotes around sick, by the way.
Oh, no?
Air quotes.
Like sick, like a 90s action movie?
No, I mean, he may not be feeling well. I don't know that he has a virus or anything.
All right. Well, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. So I got some stats of the day here. I'm just going to read them. We can get into them a little bit later. But I think everybody knows this by now. It's been everywhere. Jay Ajayi became the fourth player to rush for 200 yards in two straight games since 1960. The other three were O.J. Simpson, who did it twice, Earl Campbell, and Ricky Williams. So Ajayi will be talked about. Stat of the day number two, Eli Manning, who is one of Chris's losers this week, and Carson Palmer are both top 8 in pass attempts per game and top 9 in passing yards per game, but neither is a top 15 fantasy quarterback. They have a combined 15 touchdowns. Palmer has 7, Manning has 8. So I will ask you guys if you think there is some positive touchdown regression coming for Eli and Palmer. Stat of the day number 3, Russell Wilson is throwing more than ever, about 4.5 more passes per game this year compared to last year, but he has scored more than 15 fantasy points only once and clearly is not healthy as he has not run for more than 16 yards in a game yet. And then here's the kicker. Oh, but not a kicker, a running back. Todd Gurley, stat of the day number 4. This one's from the LA Times. Todd Gurley had a 4-game stretch last season in which he rushed for 146, 149, 128, and 133 yards. 15 games since then, he has one 100-yard rushing game. That was last year in December. That's from the LA Times. Guys, there's been a lot made about why is Todd Gurley struggling. It's because the passing game. He needs a good passing game for him to be a good running back. But you know what? I looked at those 4 awesome games last year. Nick Foles was the quarterback. He didn't throw for 200 yards in any of those games. He threw for 171 or less in 3 of the 4. So what's your theory on Todd Gurley? There's no chance I would trade Melvin Gordon for Todd Gurley at this point. How do you guys value Mr. Gurley now?
I would say it's fair to say he's not as good as we thought he was. Whether that means that Todd Gurley himself isn't as good as we thought he was, whether it means that the offensive situation that he's in, whatever the answer is, I think it's pretty clear to say that he's not going to be the guy we thought he would be. And, you know, when I was arguing maybe 4 weeks ago that you can't sit Todd Gurley, that was because we didn't have enough information to say that this new version of Todd Gurley is who he is now. I think it's fair to say that now.
Okay. No, we like sample sizes, mm-hmm. and the sample size has gotten big enough now. I wrote about Todd Gurley today, and believe it or not, and I do think in a tough matchup, you could possibly consider benching him. I don't think there's really a lot of difference between him and Melvin Gordon right now, unfortunately. Gurley's not running. Like, I still think he's more talented, but you should break a long run with this type of volume eventually.
I think
he's
there's
just
one
not
big,
doing it.
There's one big difference, though, and that's just the offense is so much better for Melvin Gordon.
Okay, can I, are we sure?
That what?
The Chargers were 26th in points per game last season.
Oh, I think it's pretty fair to say that the Rams offense is a pretty bad, inept offense. Chargers have a good offense.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I think the Rams offense is a very bad, inept offense, yes. I think the Chargers have a pretty average offense.
Fine. Even if it's average,
but
it's better
than the Rams.
Sure.
And that just lends itself to more touchdown opportunities. And we'll get into Melvin Gordon. But Gurley's got a bye this week, then Carolina, then at the Jets, And then it gets a lot better. Miami at New Orleans. At New England could be tough. Atlanta could be tough. They've been really good 3 weeks in a row against running backs.
And remember, Carolina's not a bad matchup anymore.
It's
For running backs, you don't think so? It's not. It's okay.
It's still pretty hard for me to say I'm going to sit Todd Gurley just because if we complain so much about how bad the running back position is, do you really have two running backs that you definitely feel better than about most weeks?
Well, you could. I mean, there are a lot of guys that have passed him. Would you rather have Jay Ajayi or Todd Gurley rest of season?
I'd still rather have Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I'd probably rather have Gurley, but I don't see any reason to doubt. I mean, I can't imagine any time in the near future, as long as this offensive line stays healthy, I'm going to rank Ajayi outside of my top 12 running backs.
How about the trade Heath and I made yesterday? Awesome trade in our podcast league, PPR league. I gave him Mike Evans, who is a top 5 wide receiver now with a bye week. He's already had his bye week. Mm-hmm. And he gave me Jay Ajayi and Larry Fitzgerald. And I was really desperate in that league. My team's not good enough. I need depth. I just have too many bad players. So I did a 2-for-1. I got Ajayi and Fitzgerald for Evans. How do you feel about it, Heath?
Well, Ajayi's good.
I don't feel as good about it as I did when I made it yesterday morning.
Yeah.
But I still think that I probably win that trade.
Are you saying Fitzgerald? Look, I don't love Fitzgerald, but PPR, I wouldn't have made that trade in standard. But PPR, I mean, Fitzgerald's got much different value, especially if John Brown's going to miss time.
Let's continue to act like one of the greatest wide receivers of all time is not good.
I'm not acting that way. I don't know about the touchdowns.
I think Chris was.
Kobe Bryant was great last year.
Oh,
except
come
Fitzgerald's
on,
actually been good this year.
Yeah, come on, Chris.
He's had 3 good games.
But in PPR, he's pretty reliable.
Okay.
All right. So let's get into the news,
he's
guys.
He's totally fine.
Let's get it. I mean, what do you want from the guy? He's been the best receiver on the team. They haven't had enough passing touchdowns. They've had 8 passing touchdowns this year, 7 passing touchdowns this year. That should go up, no?
Yes.
All right.
It should go up.
This wasn't a big news week, luckily. Ben Roethlisberger, according to our Jason Lockenfora, likely to be back in week 9 or 10. They have a bye this week. He might miss one more game, but probably not more than that. That's what we're hoping for right now. Antonio Brown hurt his leg. He played through it. He should be fine. It's good timing for him to have a bye. It's good timing for Odell Beckham to have a bye. He had 5 catches for 49 yards. He said it took a lot for him to get ready for the game because of the hip pointer, and he wasn't even sure going through warm-ups. So Beckham clearly not 100%, but he'll hopefully get over that. All right, autocorrect, Washington head coach Jay Crudeness. What do you think the Redskins fans prefer? Gruden? Crudeness?
Sounds about right.
He won't give up on Matt Jones for fumbling, but he said that they cannot keep addressing this issue. Let's talk about this because Chris Thompson is a winner for Chris, and I think Matt Jones is a loser for Heath, so this is obviously fresh on your mind, guys. What do you think about the Redskins running backs? Chris Thompson, 12 carries, 73 yards, and 7 catches for 40 yards, and his second straight week with a career high in carries.
Well, we know Chris Thompson has a role in the offense as the pass catcher. If he can even get into a timeshare in the backfield as the ball carrier, I think that pushes him into a borderline top 24 range.
I think it just becomes another huge miss. The one thing that Matt Jones had going for him was volume. And he may lose that volume now as he has to share more work. And he may be at the point to where he's one more fumble away from just getting benched altogether.
I mean, fumbles were an issue for him last season.
He's 8 fumbles in his career. That's crazy.
8 fumbles on 270 rushes. That's pretty bad.
Well, I was surprised that Rob Kelly didn't get more work. I was surprised it was Thompson because we talked about at the end of Friday's podcast, I asked Dave and Jamie, a guy to just pick up now, beat waivers, and stash. And for me, it was Rob Kelly in one league. I picked him up. I don't know. That kind of took me by surprise, guys. I would have thought Kelly would have got more work. He was in on the goal line. He caught a 1-yard touchdown, but Thompson clearly got the work.
Well, they were playing from behind most of that second half, right?
I don't think it was ever more than a 1-possession game, or if it was, it was brief. Maybe it was a 10-point game at once.
When they decide to go fast, there's no question it's Chris Thompson. So I wonder if that played some role, isn't it?
Okay, it might have been a 10-point game for a little bit there. Also, for Washington, Trent Williams, their left tackle, is going to have an MRI on his knee, and Josh Norman left with a concussion. So if you're an AJ Green owner, I'm not sure it matters, but they're going to London to face the Redskins this week, and Josh Norman, AJ Green could be a good matchup. Let's hope Norman gets healthy. Darius Slay left with a hamstring injury, best cornerback for the Lions. Jeremy Hill left with an injury. It doesn't seem to be serious, but was this a chest injury for Hill, the one that just keeps kind of popping up?
I did not see it. I did some searching on Twitter this morning and didn't really see anything about it. I don't think it's a major issue. I'm really curious what Cincinnati does next week running the ball, because this is 3 weeks in a row now where Bernard has seen a majority of the touches.
Well, but he left with the injury. That's, you know, part of it, because Hill came out. The game was out of hand. Hill, it looked like he was hurt holding his arm or his wrist. But I had read something about his chest, which was bothering him going into the game. And obviously this was the best Jeremy Hill performance we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Browns. But you know what, guys? The Browns actually had been all right against the run going into the game, and both guys were good. And Gio got the touchdown, Heath, because Hill came off the field after a long run. So, yeah, to your point, it's going to be weird. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, as far as...
Yeah, I haven't seen anything on the injury.
There is almost nothing. So I wonder, I mean, I don't think he's actually hurt.
He's going to play. He's going to play, and they're playing the Redskins, who can't defend the run.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. Andy Reid said Spencer Ware, he was running well. Jamal Charles had the knee flare-up, so he decided to play it safe, and Charles had only one carry. We'll get into that. And Atlanta went for it 3 minutes into overtime on 4th-and-1 from their own 45-yard line. Of course it was a terrible decision, unless you're Chris Towers. Chris Towers loved it.
It was the right call.
How was it the right call?
Stop being so conservative. Stop being
conservative.
So
you're at the 45. You're your own 45 yard line.
Stop being so scared of losing.
Oh my God, Chris!
You do that and you give up one first down and you lose.
Exactly, okay. Which is exactly what happened.
Right.
You punt it and you give up 30 yards and you lose. It's not that big.
That's not true.
Oh, no, that's not true at all.
You punt the ball. You could put him down near the 10 yard line.
No, it's not a worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is they bring it back and score. There are just as many. Yes, there's a higher chance that they score if you don't get it. But if you can't trust your offense to get 1 yard...
It doesn't work like that. I mean, like, defenses are good, too.
They have arguably the best offense in the NFL against a bad defense. Get your 1 yard, keep moving down the field, get your score.
That was such a bad decision.
Stop being so decision. Scared to lose.
And Bruce Arians, ball, too. That game never should have gone overtime. He should have just kicked that field goal.
To the other team... should not be the default correct decision
from your own territory.
Should believe you have a 70% chance of getting that 1 yard.
And the 30% chance of downs. What's the upside if you get the yard? You continue the drive. You're not even in field goal range. You still have to go forward.
Continue the drive with your great offense. Why is the default, we have to believe in our defense? Why can't you believe in your offense?
It has nothing to do with believing in your defense.
You think math would say go for it?
So scared.
You think really?
Yes.
I don't see hell.
Okay.
If you've got a 70% chance of getting it, what's your chance of getting into field goal range? Which I don't think you have a 70% chance of getting it. I think that's high. What's your chance of getting into the field goal range from your own 45?
You'd have to ask someone who's done the math.
And then what's your chances of missing the field goal? I mean, I don't think there's any way. I don't think
it's a terrible decision. Awful.
I'm upset the fourth down bot wasn't up yesterday. This is frustrating.
Okay. Let's get to the rest of the show. We got to talk about the leaders from yesterday, the winners and losers, but we also got to talk about saving $20 on tickets to the big game by using SeatGeek. Download the app, use our offer code FFT. That's FFT on SeatGeek. And there's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. Now with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats that you want for a great value. Everyone on this podcast, the three of us, we've all used SeatGeek. We all have the app. I use it all the time now, and I've already used the offer code to get my $20 rebate, but I still use SeatGeek because it's the best and the easiest way to find tickets. Think about how long it would take you to go to 5 or 6 ticket websites to look for the same event. Let SeatGeek do all that work for you. SeatGeek's going to pull in the tickets from multiple sites. That ensures you're going to get the lowest price, and that's what's really important here. It's just a great app, and it's a great experience, and you should definitely use it. I know you've been using it because I see the tweets all the time. And our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. So download the app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code. The promo code is FFT, as in fantasy football today. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT. Here are your leaders from yesterday, guys. Andrew Luck at quarterback was number 1 with 33 fantasy points, his second best game of the season. Drew Brees was number 2 with 30 fantasy points. His first good road game this year out of three tries. And Aaron Rodgers, going back to Thursday, had 29 fantasy points on 56 pass attempts. You guys have anything to say about Luck or Breeze?
I was impressed with Luck's performance on the road against a defense that hasn't been terrible. I wrote in my column last week that this was the type of game. I was kind of astonished the Colts were underdogs. And yeah. This is the type of game that elite quarterbacks have big games and go win. And that's what he did.
He owns Tennessee. You know, Heath, I said I would have started Mariota over Luck if I had had that choice in the same game. I was I was surprised at how well he did.
Good for him. Then it's nice to see Drew Brees have a good game on the road, because I think the whole home run road thing's overblown a little bit.
Yeah, I looked back to last year where he wasn't very good. I think he threw like 9 touchdowns in 8 road games or 7 mm-hmm. road games. He had 5 road games with 312 or more passing yards last year, but never more than 2 passing touchdowns in any of the 7 road games. Guys, how fun is this, right, for Breeze? Home road splits, blah, blah, blah. His next 2 home games are against Seattle and Denver. And his next 2 road games are at San Francisco and at Carolina. So it's like awful matchups at home, great matchups on the road. People will probably just start Drew Breeze in all 4 games, right?
I would say so, yeah. Maybe you consider sitting him against Denver.
Yeah, I think it's conceivable against, you don't think against Seattle. It's, we'll see the other matchups are, but. All right. So Breeze and Luck and Rodgers, your top 3 quarterbacks. So it was a good week for the high picks. Running back, a little bit different. Melvin Gordon, number 1. Mm-hmm. Jay Ajayi, number 2. Matt Forte, number 3. Chris, your thoughts on any of those 3?
Adam, did you draft Devontae Freeman in any leagues this year?
Yes.
One Where league. Did you draft him?
Heath and I, in our Rejects League, took him. Oh, no, we didn't draft him. We traded for him. I'm sorry. We drafted Doug Martin late in the second round in a 10-team league. At that point, I was thinking about Freeman or Martin in a half-point
PPR. So he was the number 1 running back in fantasy last season.
Yes.
Scored, what, 14 overall touchdowns?
Don't remember.
But everyone was scared off of him because they didn't think that his touchdown pace was sustainable from last year, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, they also were afraid of the, you know, three something whatever yards per carry after.
Oh, we're scared of someone who's not running the ball well. Weird.
All right, let's not be snarky about it.
Remember when Devontae Freeman had 10 touchdowns in 6 games last year? Totally sustainable pace, right?
Nobody in the world thinks that Melvin Gordon is going to score
okay,
16 touchdowns,
stopped,
Chris.
If
but
he
that...
stops scoring touchdowns, he's going to be a mediocre fantasy running back. That's all I'm saying. When he stops scoring touchdowns.
You're kind of defensive.
Yeah, you are. You're salty today. Come on, feel my good vibrations here. Didn't I put that out at the top of the show? Like, it's a great time. You love basketball, Chris. It's starting tomorrow. Get excited. Be
I'm
happy.
Excited.
All right, good. Now, look, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Melvin Gordon, the ultimate sell-high candidate.
Still is.
I think it's even more so now, because it's not that he's going to be bad, but Chris is right. You're right. I mean, I think you said it in kind of a jerk way, but you're right, Chris.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we all know that I don't know any other way to communicate with other human beings. Look, it's just he's going to have a stretch at some point coming up where he goes like 70 touches without scoring. Like, it happens to everyone.
Tyler Eifert.
What?
Yeah.
Tyler Eifert.
What about him?
Remember last year?
Right. Okay.
All I'm saying is I still think Gordon's a sell high.
If Tyler Eifert had been healthy coming into the season, you wouldn't have been drafting him as a top 2 or 3 tight end either.
I think he probably would have been in the 3rd.
Maybe.
I'm saying is I am all for Melvin Gordon's not that good. I'm all for Melvin Gordon should have touchdown regression. I just don't think we should talk in absolutes like it has to happen over the next 8 games.
No,
because it doesn't.
Of course, nothing absolute. He could score 20 touchdowns in the next 8 games. But we're talking probability. It's more likely than not that he is going to score significantly less often in the second half of the
Agreed.
Season than he has been so far. He's scoring roughly 1 every 15 touches. That's, I think Adrian Peterson for his career scores once every 23 touches.
All right,
just to give you a taste of how unsustainable this is.
It's a very valid argument. Now, here's where I was already anticipating this conversation coming up, and this is where I wanted to steer it. We've talked a lot about, I'd give him up for this running back or this running back. It's kind of it's a bit of a difficult thing to do, because quite honestly, I would not trade Melvin Gordon for Todd Gurley. I would not trade Melvin Gordon for Lamar Miller. Maybe if Lamar Miller goes off tonight, that would change. I think if I'm a Melvin Gordon owner, I'm probably trying to trade him for a really good a wide receiver.
Position for position trades are always tough because you're trading guys that are fairly similar in value, and whichever one's better or worse over the course of the rest of the games is kind of luck and variance.
Right. So I don't think I would do it for Allen Robinson. I'd probably be a little afraid there.
Not right now.
But give me a wide receiver. Would you trade Melvin Gordon for Brandon Cooks? I don't think I would.
That's the thing, is that I can think Cooks is going to be better than Melvin Gordon for the rest of the season and still not want to make that trade because I still want more for my Melvin Gordon.
So what would you want?
Mike Evans?
It's going to be tough to pull
off. That kind of deal? Sure, but we're talking about selling high. You're looking to...
I mean, people were trading him for Julio Jones 2 weeks ago, so you can do it.
Well, yeah, all right then. Dez Bryant? Would you do it for Dez Bryant?
No.
I don't have a good grasp on...
No, I definitely...
If I knew Romo was coming back.
Would you do it for... I think this is an obvious yes. Rob Gronkowski?
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
But like, I'm in a league where I have Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Marvin Jones, and Brandon Cooks. If someone in your league has an overabundance of wide receivers, you should be looking to trade Melvin Gordon for one of their really good wide receivers.
I wouldn't do it for Marvin Jones, though.
No.
I mean, that's the thing. I keep finding myself, as much as I agree about Melvin Gordon, I keep finding myself just not willing to trade him.
I would still do it for Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I would too.
All right.
Because that's a situation where you're looking at a guy that we think is clearly the more talented back and is in a similar role.
Okay. I want to know how you guys feel about J.J.
I don't know. He hadn't had a 50-yard game before last week, right?
Maybe.
He has 114 more yards in the last two games than he did the first 14 of his career.
But he's also got more carries than he's ever gotten. I mean, he's gotten 53 carries in two games. Here's the thing. This game meant a lot more to me than the first game did. Probably because it was stacked on top of the second game. Also because I think Buffalo's defense is pretty good. And because it's now a two-game, very small, two-game sample size with the Dolphins having their entire offensive line healthy. Ajayi, from all reports, suffered from a little bit of overconfidence. And that was some of the Dolphins' problem with him.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing behind a good offensive line, that can actually be a skill. He is running the ball. It's the exact opposite of Todd Gurley right now. Gurley has no idea where the hole's going to be or if there is going to be one there. Ajayi gets the ball. He knows where the play is supposed to go, and he has no doubt there's going to be a hole there, and he's hitting it exceptionally hard. If he stays healthy and if the offensive line stays healthy, I have a hard time seeing how he's not a top 15 back.
Now, remember why Jay Ajayi fell to the fifth round of the NFL draft. It wasn't because of his ability. It was because of a chronic knee injury. They just didn't really think he would have that long of a career. So it has nothing to do with his talent. He looks like a violent, fast, physical runner. Not like a speed demon, but he looks pretty skilled out there. I mean, it's impressive right now.
Yeah, and I don't think that his baseline skill changed at all. But he is he's just more confident. And the offensive line's playing exceptionally well.
Yeah, and Arian Foster is not really a factor either. He's barely playing.
Yeah.
So they do have a bye. Then they have the Jets and at San Diego, at the Rams. They have a fairly tough schedule when you look at the run defenses coming up. But a lot of touches means points.
You're still starting him.
Matt Forte. Well, you know, I mean, you probably are starting Ajayi, but look what just happened to Terrence West. I mean, the Jets, that's a really tough matchup. Matt Forte, Heath, he's a winner for you. He had 30 carries for 100 yards for the second time this season. He did it against Buffalo. He had 3 touchdowns in that game, 2 touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, and I'm probably seeing if anybody will buy high on Matt Forte. He's a winner because it looked like over the last 3 weeks it was trending towards a committee or worse yet, more touches for Bilal Powell.
I think Bilal Powell had more in the last two games, didn't he?
He had more snaps for sure. But the reason I don't totally buy it is the one thing that we expected was Matt Forte was the running back when they had the lead. Bilal Powell seemed to be the guy when they were trailing. And they led for almost the entire second half of this one.
Right.
So I don't know that this was really that much different. Mm-hmm. He still needed 30 carries to get to 100 yards. Yeah, he scored 2 touchdowns. He only had 4 receptions. Just one of them went for a big gain. I think this is a sell high. He's just a winner because I think he secured his role and is not losing his job.
Okay. Our leading wide receivers in Fantasy Week 7, Davante Adams, who's 32% owned. We'll surely talk about him a lot tomorrow. AJ Green and Mike Evans. And, well, we don't really have to talk about them. Do you guys put Evans up there with Green, Beckham, Brown, and Julio? Is he in that class now?
Fantasy. For me, he is.
I could see either putting him at the bottom of that tier or at the top of the next tier.
Okay.
For me, it's just the target volume is ridiculous for him.
Yeah.
I think he's up to 75 in six games now.
He's getting the DeAndre Hopkins treatment.
Yeah.
And tight end, Rob Gronkowski, your number one tight end. Get used to that. Delanie Walker, 7 for 84 and a touchdown on 8 targets. Good to see him bounce back. But Walker, inconsistent this year. 3 great games, 3 terrible games.
He's a tight end.
What's that?
He's a tight end.
Yeah, but he was a little more consistent last year. I just think they have, great weapons around him, but they have more weapons around him.
Yeah, they have DeMarco Murray.
And Jack Doyle rules, 60% owned. I think he's a winner for you, Heath, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I kind of thought that if Jack Doyle got this opportunity, he may just prove that he's better than Dwayne Allen. And he looked like it in this game. I mean, how many times have we seen Dwayne Allen get 9 catches and 78 yards in a game?
You know who he is, right?
Who Jack Doyle is?
Yeah. He's Kobe Fleener. This is exactly what Fleener did. Every time Dwayne Allen missed a game, Fleener had a huge game.
Yeah.
And then Dwayne Allen came back and goodbye.
I don't think Jack Doyle's quite as athletic.
No, I know.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the Saints would tell you that that's a good thing, because they don't really even seem to want to play Fleener that much anymore.
But the point is, you get a chance to be the only tight end. I mean, Swope will get in there a little bit, but the featured tight end for Andrew Luck, and that's a really good thing. As soon as Dwayne Allen comes back, though, you have two lousy fantasy tight ends.
It's a high ankle sprain for Dwayne Allen, though, isn't it?
Yes.
So
it's going to be well.
He might not be back for a little while.
All right, look, yeah, it's hard. You got to pick him up. I mean, I dropped Zach Ertz for Doyle. That paid off. I feel like we had a good week as a podcast last week, because Heath, you said you had a great week.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I wouldn't say I got lucky, but I mean, my Marquise Goodwin and Brandon LaFell predictions came true. Like
Marquise Goodwin led me to victory on my 0-6 team.
There you go.
I started him.
I went 5-4, so I had a fine week.
Nobody cares. All right.
I got a lot in the balance tonight. I wanted to read a few emails and tweets here. And let's go to Todd. Todd Hoseman. Team name Tuesday on a Monday. How to lose a Jai in 10 days.
It works.
I like it. I think you can do a lot with Jai Ajayi.
How to lose a Jai in 10 days. You drop him right before he rushes for 200 yards. A bunch yes. of people probably did.
That's how to lose a fantasy league in 10 days. I thought about I'm blue, I'm Anita Vijay.
Sure.
And I think we already got, but Ajayi has no name. Although you guys don't get that, because you're the only two people who don't watch Game of Thrones. Mark Crowell says, Tyler Eifert over Henry from this week out. Book it.
Wasn't a great game for Henry, was it?
Not at all.
He did have an almost touchdown.
Oh, wow.
He did. Played more snaps than Antonio Gates, but did not compare. 10 targets for Gates. Henry had 3 targets and 1 catch for 16 yards.
The thing I would say is, if you're betting on Eifert over Henry, you're betting on Antonio Gates staying healthy the rest of the year. If he stays healthy, I think Eifert will be better than Henry.
You think so?
If Henry becomes the only show in town, then he's probably a top 5 tight end the rest of the year.
Also, Eifert would have to stay healthy. I think there's more going for Henry.
This is not a drop Hunter Henry situation yet, is it?
No, but I said this, we had a huge argument on the show over this Sunday morning, because I had him kind of as a borderline start. And we've got too much of a sample size of Antonio Gates getting in the way of young tight ends.
Yeah.
And we saw it again Sunday. And as long as he's healthy, I don't know why you wouldn't believe that Phillip Rivers is going to, Henry could still have a good game, but he's just kind of a borderline start.
He's more of a he's a tight end.
He is a tight end.
More of a typical tight end, you mean, yeah.
Rather than like a good fantasy player.
Right. And Rory in SoCal says, is it officially time to worry about Allen Robinson? Would you bench him for Britt or Meredith going forward?
I would certainly look to bench Allen Robinson. I'm not sure if Kenny Britt and Cameron Meredith would be the guys that I'm looking to bench for him, because Meredith is going to be catching passes from Matt Barkley, maybe?
Cutler could be back.
Cutler could be back, but they have the Vikings this week, so I'm probably not starting Meredith there. Kenny Britt didn't have a great game yesterday.
I'd rather
start Allen Robinson than those guys, but it's indicative of how far Allen Robinson's fallen that I even had to spend 30 seconds discussing this question.
Yeah.
Is he third on his team in receiving yards?
Oh, probably.
He's behind Marquise Lee now.
Is he really?
Yeah. Like, Marquise Lee has more receiving yards than Allen Robinson.
It's almost like Jacksonville knew that Bortles was terribly inefficient last year and knew that he had some regression coming. And somehow they thought the problem was forcing the ball to his best receiver. I don't think that was the problem, guys.
Well, here's the thing. The season started off last year with Julius Thomas kind of, you know, banged up, right? And Hearns and Robinson were great. And then Thomas came back, and Robinson stayed pretty good. He still caught a lot of touchdowns. And Hearns trailed off, and Thomas and Hearns kind of traded good games. Now you throw Marcus Lee in the equation, and there's just a lot of mouths to feed. But also, I mean, I don't know what to make of this, but Hayes Carlin, I don't know how to pronounce it, C-A-R-L-Y-O-N from the Florida Times Union, is just blasting offensive coordinator Greg Olson in his article this morning. And maybe it's a coordinator issue. Obviously, Bortles has regressed. He's been terrible. He's been worse. Everybody seems to agree that he's been worse.
He has been worse, yes.
So, I don't know. I mean, the thing with Robinson is I just feel like law of averages. I feel the same way about DeSean Jackson, but obviously to a much lesser scale, lesser degree. These guys who have been good and who have shown it and who are good and have been so bad, I just feel like better times are to come. Maybe there's no logical explanation for it. I feel like they're going to fall into good production at some point. And I feel that way about Allen Robinson. I don't think he's going to live up to the second round pick, but he's got to be better than this.
Do you feel the same way about Todd Gurley?
Yeah, because I think he'll score more touchdowns because he gets so many touches. The other thing we didn't say about Gurley is he is, if in fact, very involved in the passing game.
Yes.
And
forget the
Benny Cunningham thing. Like, Gurley is catching 4 or 5 passes a game, getting three or four fantasy points for you that way. So, yeah, I think he'll be better.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe Jacksonville is going to go down this way without feeding the ball to their best player. So, I'm very hopeful. I think Robinson is a buy low. I'm not benching him for any of the guys that we were asked about. I'm probably not benching him.
He's only at 1.8 yards per catch, yards after catch per reception right now, which is really low for a player with his skill set. He does have 7 drops. He has a 21% drop rate. That's pretty bad. I don't necessarily think that drops are predictive, so I'm not worried about that moving forward.
Nope. Mari Cooper had a ton of drops last year.
And he's had a ton of drops this year.
No.
No?
His drops have really improved.
Okay. I thought that was still an issue for him. Either way, and I'm not worried about that for Allen Robinson moving forward. I am worried about Blake Bortles' play, but he's still getting the targets. I think it'll turn around.
Allen Robinson, I feel like, is a better buy low if you don't really like your team that much, if you need to shake it up. If you have a really good team and you're looking to buy low on somebody, he might be a bit too risky. Does that make sense?
I guess, yeah. If you're riding high, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Amari Cooper has 2 drops this year.
It's too many.
all right, winners and losers. We talked about a lot of this, but let's go to Spencer Ware. He's one of Heath's losers. The other two are Jack Doyle and Matt Forte, who he covered. Spencer Ware.
He's one of my winners.
Winners. I caught that. He's one of your winners. Jamaal Charles only 1 carry. And go ahead, give me your take.
Well, he's first a winner because Charles' knees are not right again. I mean, Charles had to get an MRI, according to Jay Glazer, on both of his knees this week. And then they gave Charles, I don't know why they made him active. They gave him 1 carry. I thought Andy Reid's comments were, you could really read a lot into that. And then basically it was, Spencer Ware was doing well. Mm-hmm. Why would I put Jamaal Charles in?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Chiefs right now view Charles as kind of a luxury. And if they get into a situation where they need to use Jamaal Charles, then they're going to use him.
But what does that situation look like at this point? Spencer Ware gets hurt?
Spencer Ware gets hurt, or they get into a game where Ware's not successful?
Yeah.
And that could happen.
This is scary. I just feel like any week, Ware could struggle, Charles could come in and be good, and then we've got a mess on our hands.
Oh, yeah. But until that happens, I think you have to view Ware as a top 12 running back, and Charles is a guy that
top five
desperation flex
with the way Ware's playing.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is the schedule that he's played so far. I mean, this week, yes, he's top five. He's playing the Colts.
I'm not sure I could view Charles right now as a threat to even get 10 touches.
Not next week, no.
And so if that's the case, there aren't many running backs that you can look at and say are very likely to get close to 20 touches.
How many touches did Charcandrick West get yesterday?
No running back.
Because West kind of played the...
I think he had a handful, like three or four. I'll check. I don't remember. But yeah, okay. So would you rather have Melvin Gordon or Spencer Ware? And he had five touches, four carries.
I would obviously rather have Melvin Gordon.
You would?
But I think Spencer Ware will be better. Yeah, because there's more uncertainty about Spencer Ware.
Right. Okay. Chris's winners, Latavius Murray. This was awesome, Chris. He was only started in 22% of leagues, but got to be encouraged if you own him, right?
Did a great Melvin Gordon impersonation. Yes, he clearly, I think I had him as a winner last week, just because Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington clearly didn't do anything. They had two games to prove that Latavius Murray wasn't worth a job, and neither one of them could do it. So yeah, I think Latavius Murray is back to being the number one running back there.
Yeah, he got 18 carries. That was a season high. Yards per carry have been pretty bad in his last three games, but he's faced three pretty solid run defenses, or at least what's been. Tennessee, Baltimore, and Jacksonville. Chris Thompson's a winner. Rob Gronkowski's a winner for you, Chris, and I wanted to know what angle you were playing there.
He's back to being the number one tight end. There was a little bit of concern a couple weeks ago about Martellus Bennett cutting into his playing time, cutting into his red zone opportunities. I think we're not concerned in any way about Rob Gronkowski now. This has kind of worked out perfectly.
I think, Chris and Heath, I know you've been kind of talking about this too. You look at the Patriots, another guy that I would put in the buy low if your team is struggling, like my podcast league team, is Julian Edelman. You know, I have some concerns about him. I just don't know how healthy he is. He looked pretty good yesterday. It was cutting pretty well. But so many targets, I got to figure that the production's going to come up soon for Edelman.
Yeah, I mean, that offense, I'm not sure how I feel about anybody outside of Rob Gronkowski, just because they do have a lot of kind of interchangeable pieces. Tom Brady's spread the ball around a lot so far. But yeah, Edelman's clearly a buy-low opportunity.
Yeah, they ran the ball a ton yesterday. Tom Brady threw, I don't know, 26 passes or so, and they just bludgeoned the Steelers. More winners and losers. Eli Manning is a loser for Chris. So is Allen Robinson, and so is Heath and Chris regarding Melvin Gordon. That was kind of funny. But Eli Manning going into his bye. Look, I said it earlier, him and Carson Palmer, I think there are a lot of parallels there, Chris. They're top eight, top nine in pass attempts and passing yards per game, but the fantasy production, the touchdowns haven't been there. So how do you feel about Manning and Palmer?
I would just say the weird thing about Manning is I think we all expected him to be even better this season with more passing weapons, and the passing game for New York has not been very good. The yards per attempt are still pretty mediocre, 7.3. That's right around where they were last year. The touchdown rate has fallen nearly in half, so that's maybe a sign that things will get better, but I don't know. I feel like he's not playing that well. And maybe it's just about the touchdowns, but I just haven't been very impressed with Eli Manning this season.
I didn't like him this week once I saw how healthy the Rams' D-line was going to be. And I think that was a big thing. They didn't sack him, but that's because he got the ball out so quickly. They had no downfield passing game. They had Beckham banged up. This is a bad week for him. But now they're on a bye, and then they face Philadelphia, Cincinnati, and Chicago in three straight home games. I don't know. I don't want people to drop Eli Manning because I think better things are to come, but I can't argue with you if you do.
Yeah, you're not going to lose him.
Yeah, you're probably dropping him this week, and you can pick him up next week.
There's some leagues that I'm thinking about my quarterback situation right now, and I would pick Manning up if somebody dropped him.
Not on a bye.
It's a stash, but...
Just to hold him so that he can face pretty mediocre matchups.
Yeah, the next two are pretty tough matchups.
And the Bears have been pretty league average.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I just view him as a guy that you're streaming against good matchups. I I don't know that you're going to feel great starting him at home against Fertile.
You know what it is, guy? This is my fantasy baseball background, right? This is a guy, Eli Manning, who's been in Ben McAdoo's offense 2 years in a row, very consistent, very solid, I think 30 touchdowns and 35 yep. touchdowns. This just feels to me like that good but not great starting pitcher who had a bad first half going into the All-Star break, and you just knew statistical regression was going to come and he was going to pitch better. Like, does that make sense?
I think 30 touchdowns on the season is a long shot at this point. He'd have to have 22 in the final nine games. That's a lot.
Right.
But I would bet on him averaging right around two touchdowns per game in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
He's been really bad, especially the last four games. He had the 1-3 touchdown game against Baltimore, but his yards per attempt have been below six in three of those four games. 6.5 yards per attempt overall, completion percentage down to 60%. That's lower than where it's been overall in the McAdoo era. He's just not playing well right now.
Yeah, totally fair. It's just really a philosophy. I want to talk about this maybe more on our Wednesday show, but
he's kind of the opposite of like a Melvin Gordon type.
Yeah, I know. It's just there's no way Manning is going to be, and he's one of many players. There's no way they're going to be this bad rest of season, and I don't want to drop them and miss their great production. Quarterback happens to be a position you could fairly easily replace him, so I get it.
Him and Matt Ryan are going to come back towards each other in the second half of the season.
Right. Jerick McKinnon is a loser for Heath.
I am not sold on the fact that Jerick McKinnon's definitively better than Matt Asiata.
How about Asiata?
I don't either one. I'm not sure that the Vikings are either. You look at their production since Adrian Peterson went out, and Asiata's been the guy that scored. Asiata's been better on a per carry basis. Asiata's been the guy that's been more involved in the passing game. The only thing that McKinnon had on him was volume, and this week Asiata got more carries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious heading into a Monday night game against the Bears, which isn't a great matchup, but they should be able to do something. Is this, if it's 50-50 in terms of rush attempts, Asiata's the better play, without a doubt.
Asiata got 14 carries in weeks, I guess he had a bye in week six and week five, and then 12 yesterday.
Right.
There's one thing I just want to point out, though, is McKinnon did get hurt in this game. He'll play, but he left twice due to injury.
I'm always a little skeptical of these situations where fantasy players and analysts and experts are all convinced that player A is better than player B. And the only people that disagree are the people on the team making the decisions. Like, that always it always should give us more pause than it does, I think.
Also, it needs to be mentioned how bad the Vikings offensive line is.
Yes.
And in fact, Mike Zimmer, their head coach, called his offensive line soft. It was an embarrassing performance. Sam Bradford got pummeled. They had a horrible game. So, yeah.
Oh, they're terrible. And neither one of these guys is a must start option, but. If you have to start one as a flex against the Bears,
neither is a top 20 running back.
Yeah.
All right, news and notes. Geno Smith left with an injury. Fitzpatrick replaced them. Don't know who will start in their next game. Brian Hoyer going to be out for probably the rest of the season. Jay Cutler could come back this week. Cody Kessler left with a concussion. The Browns are on their seventh quarterback, Kevin Hogan. Josh McCown might be able to play this week.
Kevin Hogan looked great. Running that read option.
Yeah.
104 yards rushing.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't think anybody's going to pick him up, but.
No.
Sammy Coates left early in the first quarter, and they have a bye. On the offensive line, Nick Mangold, Jets center, he missed most of the game with an ankle injury. Cincinnati left tackle, Andrew Whitworth is in the concussion protocol. Tennessee left guard, Quentin Spain, hurt his knee. And Philadelphia, this is interesting, Philadelphia offensive tackle, Jason Peters, left with a biceps injury. They've played two games since they lost their other tackle for 10 games, and they've been bad offensively in both. Now, one of them was against the Vikings, but if they're losing both tackles, that could be really bad for the Eagles. And defensively, Muhammad Wilkerson did not play for the Jets, and they still were great against the run. Minnesota safety Andrew Sendejo left with an ankle injury in the first quarter. Philadelphia cornerback Ron Brooks hurt his knee, and Buffalo safety Aaron Williams, he left after that big hit from Jarvis Landry. Scary injury there. All right, I'll pick one thing from each game here. Giants 17, Los Angeles 10. Who will be the best Giants running back going forward?
Rashad Jennings.
Paul Perkins.
Okay, I'm feeling a flyer on Paul Perkins.
And I just throw that out there because I don't really think there's any potential for Rashad Jennings to be good. Maybe Paul Perkins could be. He's the
it's like the Kenneth Dixon situation where we just have so little faith in the guy ahead of him that we don't know if he's good. But
yeah, Seattle 6, Arizona 6. Awesome game. Arizona had the ball for 46 minutes and 21 seconds. Seattle for 28-39, and yet they tied. All right, we talked about Kristen Michael being a sell-high candidate and, you know, just a really tough stretch of games coming up. But how do you feel about Michael? And Rawls coming back, too, at some point. How do you feel about Michael going forward, guys?
I feel perfectly fine with Kristen Michael. I think he'll be fine coming out of this stretch.
All right, what about... Really?
Pretty good game from Michael Floyd.
Yeah, what about Michael Floyd here? He only had 7 targets and Palmer threw 49 times, but he did miss some snaps with an injury. And then he had that horrible drop. Oh, that drop. He also had 2 pass interference calls against him. One wasn't his fault.
And a bad hold.
Yeah,
from what I saw, he was kind of playing a little reckless yesterday.
He's got confidence issues, I'm convinced. Because when he dropped that last pass, he like couldn't get up off the turf. He was so... I feel bad for Michael Floyd.
This is the old, this is Jerry Maguire.
Rod Tidwell?
Yes, he's Rod Tidwell. He's so worried about that new contract, or at least that's what Bruce Arians thinks. I mean, they started JJ Nelson yesterday when John Brown couldn't go. So I don't know. I keep thinking he's going to have something good happen. He did make up some ground on Kelvin Benjamin and the Kelvin Benjamin versus Michael Floyd.
Benjamin didn't have a single catch this week.
Right. No, Benjamin's terrible. Now at 63.4 and he is up to 43.7.
That's right there. That's spinning distance.
Just right around the corner.
Are we dropping Carson Palmer? He hasn't been good since about week 13 of last season. And that's including the playoffs. He played poorly in the preseason.
He was hurt at the end of last year, though.
I'm not dropping him.
Okay.
He plays the Panthers this week. If he's bad against the Panthers, he has a bye after that. I will drop him after the Panthers game. Okay. I'm giving him one more week.
But then you'll be pretty pumped about him playing San Francisco after the bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then maybe I'll pick him back up. I'd rather have Palmer than Manning still.
New England 27, Pittsburgh 16. Do you guys have any desire to own Kevin Hogan or Martellus Bennett?
Chris Hogan?
Yes, or Martellus Bennett, sorry.
Martellus Bennett is a tight end. He's in that. He would be in where Hunter Henry would be if we think Antonio Gates is going to be getting the majority of the snaps. Chris Hogan, I don't think there's any reason to really own him.
You know, Matt Waldman on Football Guys wrote a really interesting piece, and he admitted it was just a theory, but it was on trying to project which Patriots you should play outside of Gronk each week. And whether it was a primarily man team or a zone team, this player should be better.
Okay.
And he theorized that Bennett should be better against man coverage.
Okay.
And this was a team that the Steelers primarily play a lot of zone.
Okay.
So I think that's an interesting theory because
sure.
It flows with what happened so far. It's hard to find a man that can cover Martellus Bennett. That's a linebacker. So, I probably am still holding on to him, but if there's somebody else at the time, I'd drop him for Jack Doyle.
Yeah.
Okay. San Diego 33 and Atlanta 30. What'd you think of Dan Quinn's decision to go for it in overtime, guys?
It's terrible.
The worst.
This false machismo.
He should have punted on first down.
Okay, give me your thoughts on Phillip Rivers. He's had an interesting season. Some bad games, some good games, a solid game. I don't know.
I'm stunned at how well he's playing overall. It hasn't translated totally to fantasy, but we saw this offense totally collapse without Keenan Allen. Now they're without Keenan Allen and Danny Woodhead. Antonio Gates has been mostly a non-factor for most of the season, and he's played pretty much like Phillip Rivers usually plays.
Travis Benjamin, only 32% started, but 92% owned. Drop or hold?
He's droppable.
That was another thing that I put, believe it or not, this week. I think with all the different weapons they have, they don't have a star. This week it was Tyrell Williams. A couple of weeks ago it was Dontrell.
It's been Tyrell Williams, I think, 3 of the last 4 weeks, though.
2 of the last 3 for sure. Yeah. Yes.
I think he's definitely the guy to own.
I think that we will see this go back and forth. I'd rather own Williams, yes, but he and Benjamin for me are both going to be flexish guys.
Yep.
Cincinnati 31, Cleveland 17. Isaiah Crowell scored a touchdown, 12 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. after scoring 3 fantasy points in both weeks 5 and 6. So this was a little surprising, guys, to see Isaiah Crowell have a good game.
He looked good. He's good. I think he's just a pretty good running back.
All right, let me go to the next game then. Jets and Ravens. Jets win 24-16. Compare Isaiah Crowell to Terrence West.
I think West is probably going to be in a better situation. So I'm probably going to start West more weeks. I think Crowell is a better running back, but his situation is just so dreadful. I mean, he got 12 carries in this game. That seems like almost his ceiling the way they're playing right now.
How do you feel about Brandon Marshall?
I think this was probably a positive for him that Geno Smith got hurt and Ryan Fitzpatrick came back, because he's going to continue to get force-fed the ball. He's a number two receiver, maybe in the bottom half of that, but he's fine.
Kansas City 27 and New Orleans 20. It was nice to see Mark Ingram score a touchdown. He did fumble. He caught a touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm still hoping for more and not really getting it from Mark Ingram. His rushing yards are pretty low.
Yeah. I would,
you know what? No, Chris, forget Ingram. Tell me about Michael Thomas, Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks, and how you see the wide receivers shaken out.
Did I do something to you? Are you upset with me?
No, I just
want to ask me. Why are you asking me this question?
Because I want to know what you
think.
Why?
I get it. I think all three, deciding which of the, I would guess two of the three will have a good game most weeks. There will be some weeks where all three of them do. There will be some weeks where only one of them does.
Rank them.
Cooks. I kind of have to go Thomas over Snead, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think Thomas might be the best receiver in New Orleans. And he does too, I think, because I tweeted that out yesterday and he favored the tweet. I think he believed. I like 10 for 130 on 13 targets is pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've seen this, like when Willie Snead got hurt, we saw him take a leap, and Snead's come back and Thomas isn't giving up his target share. The bigger story might be the 2 targets for Kobe Fleener. All 3 of these guys are better than Fleener. So it kind of makes sense. It doesn't really matter which one's better if they're all going to, I mean, in this game, we saw Thomas get 13, Snead get 11, and Cooks get 9. If they're all getting close to 10 targets, you're starting all 3 of them.
That hasn't been the case all year. Like,
but we are seeing Fleener's snap count has trended in the wrong direction.
Okay.
This is a bad, I mean, Kansas City did not do well going into the game against wide receivers, did very well against tight ends. So maybe it was a little matchup driven.
Okay.
But, I mean, as the guy who loved Kobe Fleener, I gotta say,
he's a tight end.
The weapons around Drew Brees might be the best he's ever had, or at least it's been a really long time. And that hurts Fleener. I mean, there's no question about it. And Michael Thomas, Willie Snead, I probably underestimated both of them. So, totally see what you're saying there.
He's had 2 out of 6 good games. I would guess he might have 3 more good games the rest of the year.
Detroit 20 and Washington 17. Anything from this game? I mean, I think it was nice to see Golden Tate. We talked about the Redskins running backs, but it was nice to see Golden Tate, if you own him, be involved again with 12 targets. And it looks like he's just more involved than Marvin Jones lately.
He did have like a 15-20 yard catch that bounced off someone, didn't he?
Yes.
So that was a little weird. But yeah, I had left him for dead about 2 weeks ago.
He's that starting pitcher.
Well,
who goes into the break?
There was also a significant change in that Theo Riddick's missed the last 2 weeks. I want to see what his targets look like and what his performance look like if Riddick comes back, because Riddick was getting 8-9 targets a game.
Yeah, and Tate's role in the offense had changed significantly last season with the more emphasis on shorter passes that the Lions had used. He has to pick up a lot of his yards after the catch, because Marvin Jones is really the only deep threat guy, although they have lately started throwing a few more deep passes Golden Tate's way.
All right, let's wrap it up with 2 or 3 more questions. Is Jamison Crowder the best wide receiver in Washington going forward?
No.
Only until Jordan Reed comes back. Until then, I think he is.
Is Michael Crabtree the best Raiders wide receiver going forward?
No,
not at all.
And is Tyrod Taylor worth owning with New England and at Seattle and a bye coming up?
Drop him.
Not in a 1 quarterback league, I wouldn't say. unless it's deeper.
All right. Heath, do me a favor. Take okay. Chris out to lunch today. I don't know.
That sounds good.
Buy him a new shirt. He likes shirts.
My shirt is fun.
Adam, I know you don't have kids, so you haven't learned this, but you don't reward bad behavior. if you want to go out to lunch, then you need to be polite in public.
Okay. Lesson learned. That's the fourth lesson learned today. Good stuff. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Great show today. Chris and Heath, I'm Adam. Thank you all for listening and emailing fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Waiver wire tomorrow.